In Psalm chapter 4, we're going to read one verse in Psalm chapter 4, and then we're going to read some verses in Psalm chapter 77. Wow, there was a lot of kids here this morning, wasn't there? Man, a whole bunch of seats just got empty. Wow. Here we go. Psalm chapter 4, we'll read one verse, and then Psalm chapter 77. If you're physically able to, let's stand together for the reading of God's word, and in respect and honor to the reading of God's word. Psalm, we'll begin maybe in Psalm chapter 4. Begin in Psalm chapter 4. And we're going to read there verse number 4. Psalm chapter 4, verse number 4. The Bible says here, stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed. And be still. And be still, Selah. The word Selah means stop and think about that. Stop and think about that. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Now turn over to Psalm 77. Psalm chapter 77. And read. We're going to read together verses 1 to 6. Psalm chapter 77, verses 1 to 6. It says there, I cried unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God, was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Notice again the same expression used here in this passage as it was in Psalm 4. I commune with my own heart. I commune with my own heart. Let's have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, please speak to us this morning through your word. Help me and guide me to say what you would want me to speak, not say anything I should not say. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say to us, what the Spirit of God wants to speak personally to each one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Are there ever times in your life... Are there ever times in our life, your life, my life, when we maybe feel like or we act like the psalmist? In verse number 1, you know, the Bible tells us that he cried out to God. He was even complaining to God. And I've admitted to people several times that I've complained to God. I told somebody this the week, maybe it was Tito I was talking to, and told him how when we... First started meeting, we were meeting at the Knights Inn Hotel, conference facilities and so on. And we were there for almost 3 years, and that was our beginning place. And we were excited, you know, we were planting a church and so on. But then one day we got called in by the ownership of the place, and they said, we want to increase your rent to such and such. And really they were going to triple what we were paying in rent and so on. And I went away from that meeting that day. Somewhat praying, but mostly complaining to God. I was driving up Young Street here and complaining to God, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? We can't afford that. And I drove by this school and I complained to God and said, you know, God, I sure wish we would have had, you know, the couple million dollars or whatever we would have needed to be able to afford to buy this place. Because about 15 years ago or 14 years ago, something like that, this school was sold. You know, to a private school. And I said, God, well, I wish we would have had all that. And I drove by, and just a little bit by, probably getting to Sobeys, Canadian Tire right there, I did a U-turn. Because God told me, why don't you go talk to them? Why don't you see if maybe your church could meet there? Maybe it'd be a good meeting place. And so I came back. I came into the school. I met Mr. Oliver, the owner of the school, right then. He showed me around the building. He let me write our first rental agreement, and 3 Sundays later we were meeting here instead of at the hotel. I'll tell you something, in my complaining, God still heard me. God still heard my prayer. You know what, sometimes we go through things where we just want to cry out to God. Sometimes we want to complain to God. In verse 2 here, the psalmist was going through days of trouble. And the psalmist said, my sore ran in the night, like a physical type ailment. With a sore that just keeps running in the night and ceased not, it didn't stop. You know, have you ever gone through times where physically you have just felt awful, whether it be day or night? I know some of you do live maybe with some physical things that you do struggle day and night. Have you ever had times where you could not sleep well at night because of physical pain or discomfort or illness? Have you ever experienced in the winter time, maybe winter itch because of dry skin and you have trouble sleeping because your skin gets so dry and you just want to scratch it? Have you ever had a terrible cold, stuffy nose and runny nose and coughing and sneezing that just caused you to feel awful and not to be able to sleep well at night? You know, the psalmist here in Psalm chapter 77, he didn't have any NyQuil to take. He didn't have something he could take that would just knock him out, allow him to sleep for the night, to forget about all his troubles. I don't necessarily believe that it was physical troubles, though, that overwhelmed the psalmist. But the psalmist does make the comparison to someone being in great physical pain and not being able to do anything to stop the pain. The psalmist was saying this about his life. You know what? The troubles, they just won't stop. The troubles won't stop. The troubles won't cease. I can't even find any relief in the nighttime. I know I got to deal with my problems in the day, but I wish at nighttime I could even sleep and not have to worry about my problems. But even in the nighttime, I'm worrying about them. When I was 16 years old, I worked for a masonry company for the summertime. And we would start work at 7 o'clock every morning. We'd get done about 5:30 every night. And it was good, hard labor. And I was just a laborer for sure. And you've got all these bricklayers and all these veteran, masonry workers. And they're yelling at me all day. And, you're the one who's getting the mud, the mortar, and putting it on their boards for them to be able to keep laying bricks as fast as they can. And this company was all about production and so on. And they're screaming at you to give them mud, and you've got to give them these racks of bricks and so on so they constantly can be doing it. And you're one laborer serving all these things, and they're yelling at you all day long. Those were hard days. But you know what? They became even harder when I couldn't sleep at night. They became even harder. My kids know sometimes, I've in my lifetime been prone to have these nightmares, and especially when I was younger, where I would even sleepwalk a little bit. And I remember times at night that summer doing a little bit of almost sleepwalking and being afraid of those bricklayers yelling at me. And I wondered, like, man, they're after me all day, and I work out all day, can I just sleep at night? But I remember times getting out of my bed and kind of getting down behind and hoping, like, leave me alone, let me rest. I couldn't sleep. The psalmist was going through great troubles. And he even wished he could get some relief for it at night, but he couldn't. He couldn't. Those troubles kept him awake. His heart and his soul was in such pain and turmoil because of the troubles that he was going through in his life. In verse 2, the psalmist said this, my soul refused to be comforted. My soul refused to be comforted. In other words, the psalmist was overwhelmed with troubles. He was discouraged. And he was desperately searching for some comfort and some hope and some help. Do you ever have times in your life where you feel like that? But I need hope. I need help. Lord, I'm going through some things and I don't know what to do, and some things that overwhelm me, like the psalmist said. Verse 3, the psalmist admitted, I've been complaining to God. My heart is totally overwhelmed. My heart's overwhelmed. In verse 4, the psalmist said, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. The psalmist was having trouble sleeping and often even did not know what to say. His heart was hurting. His soul was overwhelmed by the troubles. Listen, do you ever have times in your life where you feel like that? Are you having some difficulties in your life? Maybe in your marriage, some struggles or difficulty getting along with people, and it just, at times, it overwhelms you, and your soul hurts and your heart hurts because of the troubles that you have. Do you have difficulty in rearing your kids, rearing your children? And it's just an overwhelming responsibility at times that it just gets to be too much. Are you a parent of a teenager? And you struggle sometimes because of these things. Where teenagers butt heads. And maybe at night you cry. Maybe at night you pray because of the difficulties with a young person in your life. Or maybe because of your parents. Are you struggling with some financial difficulties? At times you wonder, how is this going to get paid for? How am I going to take care of the bills and so on? You're struggling maybe with, you need a job or you need a better job, or you've got these troubles at home and you got a bad situation. You've got people that maybe haven't treated you very well. You've got struggles. Maybe it's your health problems that you're struggling with, and maybe you have something that you're living with and it seems like there's no hope, there's going to be no escape. Or maybe some of you facing some opposition from unsaved relatives because of your living for Christ. Because you now have a new life in Christ and things are different and you want to live for Jesus, but you've got some relatives who they just don't understand, or they maybe think you're crazy, or they maybe wonder what's happened to you. And just the emotions of dealing with that, of I want to live for Christ and I've got something wonderful now, but they don't understand me. That can be hard to deal with at times. We do not know exactly what the troubles were in the life of this psalmist here named Asaph. We do not know exactly what the troubles were in the life of the Israelites, but we do see the answer for their troubles here in this psalm. People believe that Asaph wrote this to someone named Jeduthun, who was one of the chief musicians for the Israelites. And it may have been that he took the words of this and put them to music, and it became a song for the Israelites. This psalm became one of their songs that the congregation of the Israelites would sing when they were together. No matter what troubles Asaph or the people of that day were facing, the answer was still faith in God. The answer was still faith in God. Let me ask you this question this morning, and we'll get some answers from the Bible. How are you going to make it through the troubles in your life? How are you going to make it through the troubles in your life? You must commune with your own heart. You must commune with your own heart. In Psalm 4 and verse 4, it tells us to commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. Is it recommending taking up yoga? No, I don't think so. You know, the Bible tells us in another place, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Calm down. Don't fret. Don't worry over your troubles. Be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes we just need to commune with our own heart upon our bed and be still. Be still and know that He's God. Be still and know that He's still in charge. Be still and know that He loves you and He cares about you and He knows exactly what you're going through. In Psalm 77, Asaph said, I commune with my own heart. Now, what does it mean to commune with your own heart? What should you do during the troubles, and how should you handle the troubles? How will you commune with your own heart? Here's number one. Through the troubles, believe that God still hears you when you cry to Him. Through the troubles that you're going through, believe that God still hears you when you cry to Him. In Psalm 77, verse 1, it says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. He was paying attention. He was listening to me when I prayed. Back in Psalm chapter number 4 and verse number 3, the Bible says, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Listen, God is still listening to you today. God is still listening to the godly. God is still listening to the righteous. God is still listening to his children. You are special to him, and God cares about you even in the midst of your troubles. Believe that God still cares and that God still hears, that God is still listening to you even through the troubles. Here's number two. Through the troubles, learn to be still. Learn to be still. Learn to be quiet. You know what? Are we just like that child that likes to fidget sometimes? that likes to always be going here and going there and so on? Are we, or do we ever just have that ability to sit still and listen to God? Does stillness and quietness bother us? It's nice, isn't it, Julia? It's nice when you get some quiet in the house. You're glad to be in here. You don't, for a little, with all those kids, right? And our kids. Stillness is nice. That's why I like to go away with my wife sometimes, because I love our kids, but I like quietness sometimes. Our home's loud, right? 7 children. You know what? It's good for us sometimes just to be still and to be quiet and to listen to God. Rather than be anxious about everything or worrying about everything or fretting about everything or trying to figure everything out or rushing here, rushing there, just to be still and just to be quiet. Asaph said this in Psalm 77:3, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Do you know something? Complaining has never encouraged anybody's heart. And the psalmist began to realize that. In his troubles, when he just started complaining, it wasn't helping him. Complaining has never done us any good. He had to learn to move beyond that, and thankfully he did. Through the troubles, you will naturally feel like complaining to God. And you may even spend some time complaining to God like the psalmist did, and God understands that. He's okay with that. You'll feel overwhelmed, but you need to learn to go beyond that. You need to do more than that. You need to move past the complaining. Don't live right there and stay right there in the place of complaining all the time. That'll just make you miserable. In Psalm chapter number 4 again, in verse number 4, the psalmist said, stand in awe. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. Selah. Stop and think about that. Learn to be still. Learn to be quiet. Don't sin with your mouth by continually griping about your God and complaining about your God and all the troubles in your life. Do you know what God wants? He wants to be praised. He wants to be glorified. He wants to be thanked. God doesn't want us to be Christians who all we can do is sit around and gripe and complain all the time. There may be sometimes you complain and God's okay. But learn to move beyond that. Learn to sit still, to be quiet, to know that He is God. Learn to commune with your own heart. Now, it's sinful and wrong if all we ever do is gripe and complain and fret and worry. In Lamentation 3, in verse 26, it says this, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That quietly wait stuff, that's tough sometimes, isn't it? Quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord, because many times, you know, we want to rush to figure out the solution to everything. We want to rush because we've been praying and no answer has come, and we're just going to figure it out ourselves. We've got troubles and worries, and we wonder, does God even hear? Does God listen? Does God care? When He wants you just to, okay, stop complaining. I heard you, it's okay, but stop complaining and just be still and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Quietly wait to see what God's going to do. You know, you shared with me, Brother Tito, some blessings this week, right? And God came through, right? God came through in your life in different cases over and over and over again. We can trust Him. We can be still and we can quietly wait, and God will get involved. Learn to be still, be quiet, and trust God in your trials. Listen, how are you going to make it? How am I going to make it? How will we make it through the troubles in our life? Commune with your own heart. And by that I mean this. Number one, through the troubles, believe that God still hears you when you cry to Him. Number two, through the troubles, learn to be still. Learn to be quiet. Here's number three, through the troubles, meditate on and remember the goodness of God. Meditate on, think about. Meditate on and remember the goodness of God. Look at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And look with me at verses 5 to 12 and you'll see what I mean. The psalmist, he moved past the complaining. He learned to sit still, to be still. And he began to think about what God had done. He began to remember the goodness of God. Look at verse 5, Psalm 77, 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever more? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. Stop and think about that. Well, what's the answer to those questions? No, of course not. Of course God hasn't run out of mercy. And God hasn't forgotten. And God's not done with me. God's still gracious. Look at verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. In other words, the great things that you've done. Verse 12, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. He says, I'm going to remember what you've done. I'm going to think about the great things you've done. And instead of my complaining and grumbling anymore, I'm going to start talking about the good things that my Lord has done. Verse 5, the psalmist said he considered the days of old. He was communing with his heart here. He was going to make time to consider what God had done for him in the past. He was not going to judge God by the troubles that he was facing in the present. Sometimes people make that mistake in life where we just go and judge God right when we're in the midst of a trial. Or we judge God right in the middle of some troubles. No, don't do that. Stop and be still and be quiet and remember all that the Lord God has done. Remember all his goodness and his graciousness and his mercies and how he's not failed. In verse 6 he said, I called remembrance, I commune with my own heart and my spirit made diligent search. In other words, he was meditating on and remembering and thinking about all that God had done for him in the past. Thinking about maybe some of the trials and troubles in his past that the Lord had brought him through. Do you know it would do you good as a Christian to get yourself a piece of paper and write down sometimes the things that God has done for you? Get yourself a little journal book and use that in a prayer time and just remember and write down some things about God has done. Remember his goodness. Remember his works. With your soul, make diligent search and think about and remember those things and meditate on those things and thank God for those things and praise God for those things and go about talking about the good things rather than just complaining about the present trouble that you and I may be in. You know, sometimes our spirit can be so easily overwhelmed in the midst of troubles and we need to learn to call to remembrance the goodness of our God. The psalmist said, my spirit made diligent search. I think that many times, like the psalmist, we need to, on purpose, decide that we're going to make diligent search and we're going to think about the good things that the God has done for us in the past. And even the good things he's doing for us in the present. Otherwise, it can be so easy at times to just be swallowed up in our troubles. Swallowed up in our difficulties. Don't let that happen. Through the troubles, we need to meditate on and remember the goodness of God. In verse 7 to 9 there, the psalmist asked questions that he already knew the answer to. Will the Lord cast us off? No, of course not. Is God's mercy, is it all gone? Is it all dried up? Is it on empty? No, of course not. Will God's promises fail? No, of course not. Has God forgotten somehow to be gracious? No, of course not. Of course not. Look at verse number 10, Psalm 77 and verse number 10. The Bible says there, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Through the troubles, let's make sure we meditate on and remember the goodness of God. Remember it. Listen, how are you going to make it through the troubles in your life. You must commune with your own heart. Through the troubles, believe that God still hears you when you cry to Him. When you want to go to bed and cry. When you want to put your robe on and get yourself a big bucket of ice cream and sit somewhere and just feel sorry for yourself and complain about some of the troubles that you've got going on in your life, why not decide instead to take that old bathrobe off, have a shower, eat something healthy instead of that whole bucket of ice cream, and start thinking about God. Remember His goodness. Think about His graciousness. Meditate on all the good things that the Lord has done. Listen, through the troubles, believe that God still hears you when you cry to Him. Through the troubles, learn to be still. Learn to be quiet where we stop complaining. Number three, through the troubles, meditate on and remember the goodness of God. Here's number four quickly. Through the troubles, listen to godly music to encourage your heart. Listen to some godly music to encourage your heart. The psalmist said this in verse 6. I called to remembrance my song in the night. My song in the night. This expression means more than one thing to us, but may I say that for right now, that music is a very powerful thing. Godly music can do wonders to encourage your heart and spirit. Wonders. Rather than just listening to something that is troubling or listening to some bad news or listening to some bad music, hey, why not turn on some good music in your home? Turn on some good godly music and let that music encourage you. He said, I remember the song, my song in the night. That obviously before he had had some night seasons in his life or some dark times in his life or some other troubles in his life. But God had given him a song during those times. You know, those songs can sustain us. I try to, on Sunday mornings too, when I'm coming to church, I try to put on some good songs. And I was listening to some good songs this morning in the thing. And I pick up a bunch of people. And to be honest, I don't always talk to them very much. I usually don't talk to them much at all. But I'm listening to those songs. And I'm singing those songs because I know that I desperately need those songs to encourage my heart to come to church because I got some other people I have to try to encourage. Listen, songs will help you. Godly music can help to encourage your heart. Here's number five. Through the troubles, stay in church faithfully. Through the troubles, stay in church faithfully. Sometimes people think, oh, I just got troubles. I can't come to church. Oh, everything's going wrong in my life. I'm just going to stay home. Oh, I get text messages like those, you know, pretty regularly. Oh, I got so many troubles. I can't come to church. Oh, just so many things going wrong in my life. I'm just going to stay in bed. Listen, through the troubles, stay in church. Stay in church. We need the encouragement of being in church. We need the encouragement of being with God's people. Look what the psalmist said in verse 13. Psalm 77, 13 and 14. Thy way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. The sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. You know, going to church and so on and the what people now call centers and this and that, people call it auditoriums. You know what they used to call them? Sanctuary. The sanctuary. You go into the church auditorium, you're going into the sanctuary. You're going to meet with God. You're going to hear God's word. You're going to listen to God. You want God to speak to you and encourage you and help you that day at church. Listen, getting into the sanctuary, getting into church, being faithful to church, we need that when we're going through troubles. Don't avoid it. This is a reminder to us of the importance of having our lives anchored in the sanctuary, in the house of God, in the New Testament church. Believers are told to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Listen, it's God's intention for believers to be faithful to church and faithful to the house of God and faithful to get in the sanctuary and meet with the congregation, meet with the people of God and sing the hymns of God and pray for one another and encourage one another, bless one another. As we meet together, we can be reminded of God's strength and we can encourage one another. Through the troubles of life, we need to stay in church faithfully. Here's number six, quickly. Through the troubles, remember that God is walking with you each step of the way. Look down to verse number 15. Verse 15. Let me state the principle again, or the truth again. Number 6. Through the troubles, remember that God is walking with you each step of the way. Look at verse 15. It says, "Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph." Sometimes the Bible talks about how God with his strong right arm helps his people. God does that. Always does that. Look down at verse number 19 and 20. It says, "Thy way is in the sea, and thy path is in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Verse 19 speaks about God's way, God's path, and God's footsteps. It says there, "And thy footsteps are not known." Thy footsteps are not known. It reminds us of a story, doesn't it? One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life, and for each scene in the story, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it seemed to happen at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. It really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He said, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you'd leave me." The Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you, that I carried you." We may sometimes wonder, where's God? Oh, he's there. He's there. You may wonder at times if God has left you because of the troubles you're going through, but remember that God is walking with you each step of the way, and sometimes he even has to carry you. Number 7, keep holding the hand of the good shepherd and trust him to lead you through the troubles. Through your troubles, keep holding the hand of the good shepherd and trust him to lead you through. Verse 20 gives us a reminder of how God led his people like a flock of sheep through the wilderness. God led them out of bondage in Egypt. God led the Israelites across the Red Sea and protected them from the pursuing armies. God protected them and fed them as they journeyed through the wilderness. You know, in a similar way, we need to be reminded that we can trust God to lead us. You can trust God to lead you in your life. There will be no better guide. There will be no better shepherd. There will be no better helper. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." No matter what troubles you're going through, stay close to the shepherd. Stay close to him. "Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way." How are you going to make it through the troubles in your life? You must commune with your own heart. Purposefully commune with your own heart. Don't let it be that you just say, "Oh, I've got a heart of complaining and a heart of grumbling." No, purposefully commune with your own heart. Through the troubles, number 1, believe that God hears you when you cry to him. Don't allow Satan to make you think, "Oh, God doesn't care about me. He's not listening to me." He does care. Through the troubles, believe that God still hears you when you cry to him, when you pray. Number 2, through the troubles, learn to be still. Learn to be quiet. Don't be guilty of sinning through constantly complaining and griping against God. Sit still. Be still. And know that He is God. Number three, through the troubles, meditate on and remember the goodness of God. Think about the goodness of God. Number four, through the troubles, listen to godly music to encourage your heart. Number five, through the troubles, stay in church faithfully. Number six, through the troubles, remember that God is walking with you each step of the way. And number seven, keep holding the hand of the good shepherd and trust Him to lead you through the troubles. He will lead you through. There's a song in our hymn book that says this: listen to His loving words. Come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in His promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. Where He leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day. You need to commune with your own heart. Commune with your own heart. Be still and know that He is God. That He is God. No matter what troubles you're going through in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for Your word and this example we have in the life of Asaph, who very much like us went through some troubles in his life. Very much in his life he went through some trials that were causing him to have some very sleepless nights. He went through some troubles that were causing him to complain. But Lord, I'm so thankful we see that he moved past that. He moved beyond that. And he stopped complaining and started meditating on and thinking about what You had done for him. He learned to be still. He learned to be quiet. He learned that You would still hear him when he cried out, when he prayed. He learned that You're a good shepherd, one that can lead us, one that can be depended on, one that is faithful. He learned the blessing of having good music in his life and how a song in the night could encourage his heart and strengthen him. God, help us in the same way to find the encouragement and strength from God and comfort that we need from God and help that we need from God in times of trouble in our life. Help us, Lord, to be still, to be quiet.